Hey, it's Monday, and it's Rumor Innuendo Monday, and I may be wearing pink, but I'm feeling blue today. Robert, how are you doing today? Robert Karpolis, WE Creative underscore ish, ECW jersey. What's up there? Why are you wearing that?
I'm doing great. I am dressed up because, Dom, when you have company, when you have guests over, you dress up, and I busted out my Sunday finest on a Monday. It is my ECW hockey jersey because we are joined today by an ECW legend, one of the most respected minds in the business, the Blue Meanie.
Woo, Blue Meanie!
What's up? Tribute to Tracy Smothers, you know. Hey, fellas, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for being here, man.
Hey, I know I like to do a little run-ins on your chat every now and then, but you know, it's nice to be on. It's nice to be seen. Hello.
We appreciate the shout-outs, man.
These guys are great.
Thanks. So yeah, we got a heck of a lineup, don't we, Robert? Huh?
We have a great lineup today. I'm a little flummoxed, right? But never in the history of doing the show have I ever had a technical issue, and about 5 minutes before we go on, my camera wouldn't turn on. I couldn't get my audio to work. Had to switch over to a secondary laptop. So we're flying by the seat of our pants here today. But Dom has put together a hell of a lineup for this Monday. Real happy that Blue Meanie's here. Real happy that Dom is here. Real happy that you are here. Dom, you want to give some shout outs to some of the folks in the comments
section? Absolutely. Absolutely. Dre Owen says, perfect way to start my lunch break. And David Maj says, this episode I've been waiting for. Heck yeah, I love Blue Meanie. Woo! Ric Flair voice. All right. And Anthony Santos says, happy Monday, fellas. Survey says, one more for the blue guy.
Hey.
Heck yeah. But yeah, we got quite the lineup today. We're going to cover a little bit of preview WWE Raw tonight. We're going to cover what happened on SmackDown, and plus a little bit more news. But Meanie, let's start off, too, just by telling what you got going on with Meanie Mania in Philadelphia this week.
Oh, man. My Meanie... my Mania week is pretty packed. We just announced Wednesday, right before Mania. I'm doing two tours of the 2300 Arena, former ECW Arena, doing a 4 o'clock tour and a 7 o'clock tour. Go to 2300arena.com for tickets. Meanie Mania is coming to my favorite bar on the planet, McCusker's. Hold all of our calls. At McCusker's. You've been to McCusker's, Dom. You know how cool, how laid back, how much of a family atmosphere it is. McCusker's is my favorite bar on the planet. Free to attend. No cover charge. Just bring yourself. Have a good time. 7 p.m. to 2 a.m. If you're going to an event and you want a pre-show party, come to that. If you're coming out of an event, we'll be there till 2 a.m. to have some good times. Going to have some food, going to have some drink specials, got a lot of good things at Meanie Mania. And, of course, I'm at WrestleCon all 3 days. I'm doing Battleground Championship Wrestling that Friday with their block party, and then I'm hosting Tribute to Extreme at the 2300 Arena that Friday night for Battleground Championship Wrestling. So I'm going to be pretty busy.
Yeah, heck of a plate.
That is wild.
And it's all 10 minutes from my house, so it's great.
That's it.
Doesn't get any better than that. I was at the 2300 Arena once when I was at WWE. We ran an ECW house show there.
Oh, I went to that.
I went and I got to ride with Paul to go to it, and he had not been to the building in forever. And at that time, he couldn't understand some of the fact that they had like working plumbing made this thing seem amazing. And then I just saw a mutual friend of ours, Lance Storm, was posting TNA did their taping there. I mean, there's screens. This thing looks high tech and modern, but it's still that building. I mean, you're still in the kind of the epicenter of wrestling history. So the fact that you're doing this guided tour is pretty incredible.
Yeah. Shout out to the folks at 2300 Arena for trusting me to do this. But in all reality, I've been in that building I've been going to that building since 1993. Wow. First, as a fan, you watch some of those early ECW shows, you see me in the crowd. And then I moved away to train with Al Snow, came back, and I started working there as a wrestler. I worked there for pretty much every promotion, with exception of maybe one or two that have come through there. I've worked for every promotion there. I've run shows there. So I know that in the outs of working in that building, I know where everything used to be. I can show you where the famous stairwell where Paul gave that, "This is the dance." You know, I could show you that, this, that, and the other thing. I got tons of useless knowledge when it comes to the 2300 Arena. It's a building I pass almost every day just to go get my cup of coffee. So I'm literally furniture. I'm a piece of furniture in the 2300.
Heck, you got a banner there too.
I do. And I was very fortunate in 2014, they inducted me into their Hardcore Hall of Fame at the 2300 Arena. The banners will be there on full display. There'll be a ring there. There'll be video boards showing things from the past. And I want it to be very interactive. Q&A, you know, let's have our conversation. Let's propose a toast. Let's lift our drinks to the memories of the old ECW Arena.
Oh, that's going to be sweet, man. I'm pumped.
That's awesome. And obviously, a lot of fans come from all over the world for WrestleMania weekend. So this is a real cool opportunity for you to see a living, breathing piece of wrestling history. I'm talking about the building, not necessarily you, Meanie, but it's still pretty amazing to get to go walk there, you know, with someone who's lived it.
Yeah, I'm still put together somehow with duct tape and bubble gum. So, you know, just every day my body reminds me of the things I've done. So,
well, hey, let's talk a little wrestling news. Blue Meanie, let's talk the Blue Brand, huh? SmackDown happened on Friday, obviously, and we had a confrontation without The Rock. It was Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes in the ring, and words were exchanged, threats were made, and then people showed up after Roman tried pulling a fast one on Cody. Then Cody had read his game. Meanie, what did you think of that segment going on? And you've had a lot of predictions going on with what might ultimately happen at WrestleMania. You were the first to kind of strike up that light that match, so to speak.
Yeah, I totally believe that. You know, spoiler. I totally believe The Rock is working on behalf of Cody. You know, whether it's him coming back and he literally said, "You could say I'm the head of the table." You know, when he came back and, you know, he does the finger up and then he slides the pinky out for L, or, you know, they frame the camera work. So he says, "I'm there to make sure you lose." And they cut to a scene where it looks like he's pointing at Roman. Beautiful, subtle details of storytelling that's going on. And this Friday, it was as another chapter and great storytelling. You know, the one thing I hate when there's going to be a big pay-per-view is they sneak these guys into matches where they face off on like TV leading up to a thing. And it takes away the mystique of these two guys finally touching, you know, at the event. And so far they've done these promo battles and, you know, promo segments. And with the exception of Cody, you know, and Rock slapping each other, there's really hasn't been much physicality, which is building to that tension that's hopefully going to come at WrestleMania night one. But I think it was really good. Really good storytelling where, you know, Roman pointed out, "Hey, you're stupid. You trusted me. You know, you think you could trust Seth?" You know, and then, you know, Cody turned the table on him. You know, "Do you think you could trust The Rock?" Which, you know, they've been, you know, doing little breadcrumbs, like I said, with the L and Paul Heyman staring at The Rock doing the L logo with his hand. But the funny thing is, you know, Roman's like, "You're like a politician," and this felt like a debate, like a town hall debate, but it was perfect. It wasn't rushed. They took their time. They said their piece. They let the fans interact, which I love. You know, you don't have to stand there and be like, "Yay, yay, rah, rah, cheer me," but they gave enough pause in between what they were saying to let the crowd come up and build, and beautifully done. And, you know, the final segment when Roman, you know, snaps his finger and then out come, you know, his henchmen, and then Cody go, you know, does a little nod, and then here comes his henchmen, and there's that standoff, and they go to the commercial. So beautifully done. It's a great storytelling, and that's something that should have ended the show right then and there. It's just making me look forward to this WrestleMania just that much more.
100%. Robert, what were your thoughts?
So we talked about it on Friday that this segment had a number of things it needed to accomplish. First and foremost is to remind people that the main event of WrestleMania is Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes. That, yes, there is this tag match. Yes, The Rock is there. But when you put Roman in there with Cody, there's still that magic. There's still that story that you need to finish. And they threaded that needle nicely. They both touched on, like Blue Meanie said, can you trust your partner? Well, can you trust your partner? But at the end of the day, it's Roman against Cody on night two, and it's very tough to build to a match when you're not entirely sure what the stipulations are. I will respectfully slightly disagree with Blue Meanie, just in the sense of I hope that Rock is not going to turn on Roman, because I think that then becomes the focus in the spotlight, and I really want it to just be on Roman and Cody. I can see where there's a lot of avenues for The Rock to have been in on this with Cody the whole time. That was the whisper in the ear and what they were talking about, and a chance for Rock to redeem himself. I think partially selfishly, I enjoyed this heel version of The Rock. It feels more authentic than the golly gosh G Hollywood babyface that he's been. I also want it to be Cody slaying all of the beasts rather than having all this additional help. The reveal at the end with everybody hidden in the crowd was fantastic on paper. Blocking wise, the way that they shot Jay and Seth, they kind of got lost a little bit. The reveal of Jimmy and Solo was incredible. There was some goof in a hooded sweatshirt right behind Solo. They both were dressed the same. I thought that was kind of funny. Like, you could just see from that moment the difference between a fan in a hoodie and a superstar in a hoodie. But yeah, you found a way to further that story, and you didn't miss The Rock. I think that was the most important thing. We said before, hey, Rock's not advertised for SmackDown. What are we going to get? You got a lot out of that segment. You advanced two major matches, and you didn't really miss the fact that Dwayne The Rock Johnson wasn't there.
Yeah, I thought the facials that Roman was making, and same with Cody too, a lot of great body language, really good delivery, and I think Roman's just on a big level of like, hey, don't forget about me kind of thing. And just subtle delivery. I thought it was very, very extremely well done. I'm a big fan of Young and the Restless soap operas and stuff like that. And so seeing this kind of get executed in a lot of ways, it's completely, they blow that out of the water 100%. So I was a big fan.
When it comes to The Rock and his issue with Roman, I think it lies in the fact that I could see night one, him turning Rock bottom on Roman, this, that, and other thing, just so the bloodline doesn't interfere in night two. And I believe what The Rock's issue with Roman will be, you know, the Samoan family has been a tight-knit family, and you've caused this divide between, like, the Usos. You know, you got two brothers that we grew up together. You know, you grew up with together, and they're fighting like Cain and Abel. You know, you've done more damage to the bloodline then, you know, I'm here to fix the bloodline kind of thing. And that could be, you know, when they come out at, you know, either night two or the Raw after WrestleMania, Rock and Roman can have this confrontation to where you can have Rock and Roman at SummerSlam. Yeah. You know, Rock came back. He said, I'm head of the table. Wink, wink. You know, he comes out, you know, whispers in, you know, Cody's ear, and Cody's like, you know, and he backed off. And then you could say the Raw after Mania, Cody could say, you know, this is why he's been alluding to why he, you know, said he wasn't going to, but they keep cutting him off. But I think eventually Rock is doing this to mend the bloodline, get Jimmy and Jay back together. And then, you know, he's the true head of the table. And then we have a head of the table match at SummerSlam between Rock and Roman.
Yeah, I don't think they spent time building that bloodline graphic and hyping this match if Rock doesn't intend to do a Rock-Roman match at some point down the road. Obviously, because of the groundswell for Cody and the shifting, this is sort of like repairing the airplane while you're in midair. And they've been cobbling together this story that was not their original intention. I mean, this WrestleMania is a real testament to the creative team being able to navigate when we thought for sure it was Cody and Roman. We thought it was going to be CM Punk and Seth. We had two set in stone storylines. People have lamented for years. There's no long-term build. There's no long-term story. They did it. It all became snake bit, and they somehow found a way to tell an even more interesting story. And you can't have The Rock and not use him. He's far too big of a star. And they found a way to integrate him into this where people are questioning and asking. But more importantly, you're pulling in casual fans who might not have watched for years. I have friends that haven't watched in decades. And they're saying, I keep seeing The Rock stuff on YouTube. I'm now catching SmackDown. I'm really excited about this. I'm plugged into wrestling. And for my money, anytime there's more eyeballs on the product, I'm going to be happy.
Right? Absolutely.
Absolutely. Robert, anything else you want to take away with SmackDown before we go on?
Just briefly, because I know we are super over time. The LA Knight AJ Styles segment, it's something we've seen many, many times before where the cops show up at somebody's house. I thought it was really inventive. The idea that the production crew was already there. They're filming a video package for AJ, and then LA Knight shows up. The way they use the security cam for the body cam footage, the car footage of the police, I thought was innovative. LA Knight, him talking to the cop, like, I respect what you guys are doing. Like, that was a little much. Like, I get it. But the way that they shot at the presentation, I like the bold chances that the production team is taking.
Really cool. Meany, what did you think of that segment?
To me, it was like a nod back to a Stone Cold Brian Pillman minus the gun. Right. You know,
sure, the people at Fox are very happy for that.
Yes, yes, but I think it was very well done.
Well, cool, Robert. We're talking Blue Meany. Is there something else Blue we want to talk about too?
I was getting there. You read my mind, but yes, we do have the Blue Meany here. But there is a second beloved blue figure that is a figure here on Rumor and Innuendo, and that is our friends at Blue Chew. Guys, this episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Let's talk about sex. Remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Visit BlueChew.com. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever an opportunity arises. The best part, it's all done online. No visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. We all know you're all members of the BWO. You try this once, you're going to be part of the BCWO, the Blue Chew World Order. You are going to have the same confidence as a grown man dancing in a half cut off shirt, and your partner is going to appreciate it because Blue Chew wants to help you have better sex. Now we're all doing the blue Meany dance. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. And we've got a special offer for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code Rumor at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code Rumor to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this Blue Meany tinted episode of Rumor and Innuendo.
Ooh, can you believe he's a writer, Robert? I mean, but Meany, can you believe he's a writer?
Hey, I know we're putting over Blue Chew, but you know why I say Alice is called Cialis?
Hmm.
First guy who took it went, Cialis, I told you it still worked.
Nice. Yes.
Yes. Love it. It's somehow PG enough that we're good. Speaking of PG-ish, I want to talk about something. We're jumping a little bit on the run sheet because it wasn't on there, Dom. Okay. But something that happened over the weekend that I think is worth mentioning is at one of the live events, one of the house shows, Rhea Ripley brought back the stink face. She did the stink face to Nia Jax. Even better, there's footage online that Shayna Baszler during the match started begging for her to get a stink face, which felt like vintage ECW a little bit. It was the kind of fun that you have not really seen in wrestling, the sort of off the cuff, slightly risque stuff. And I would be remiss if we have Blue Meany here. What's your thought on this? And what do you feel about them kind of loosening the reins a little bit and letting these guys have fun?
Hey, it adds a little bit more element of realism. You know, if people know the it's beaten to your mind, you know, this is PG. When you do something a little bit over the line, it gets a great reaction. Like, a lot of people, Cody's promo on Raw where he dropped a couple words, it was a little bit over the line with some of the language, but that's what we all do when we're feeling a moment of passion and anger. You know, sometimes those words slip, but like going back to the house show, that's why house shows I think are always more fun than TV. You're a little bit looser. You don't have to worry about time, commercial breaks and all that good stuff. So to see that happen on the house show, whether it was planned or improvised, I think it was fun. It's good, you know. The crowd will tell you if it worked, and the crowd reacted. They loved it. You know,
trending all over the world. Yeah, it makes it feel like if WWE's come into your city now, it's a must see ticket. It's if they're there, I got to see what they're going to do that we can't do on TV, but we're going to get here at a live show, and that's what makes it so much fun.
Right, yes,
that's what it's about.
And you know what? CM Punk leaned into it a little bit too on Instagram. He said, I seen what Rhea Ripley's been doing at live events. He's like, wait till you see me tonight. And he's like, can't wait for Raw. And basically also said, hey, swearing's fun. Let's do it on live TV. And so sure enough, CM Punk returned tonight on WWE Raw in his hometown of Chicago at the Allstate Arena. Since he was last there making his appearance or return at the Survivor Series. Robert, what do you expect to happen with CM Punk here tonight?
I think you can eat up a lot of TV time by just having him do his entrance and talking to the crowd. He's been teasing a number of different things. Obviously, some interaction with Drew is most likely in the cards. I think Drew McIntyre on social has been having a hell of a lot of fun at CM Punk's expense. I still maintain that I would love to see Punk be the guy to induct Paul Heyman into the WWE Hall of Fame, just because there is an air of legitimacy given their backstory and history. But from a storyline perspective, that tension between him and Roman Reigns while he's up there praising the wise man would be a hell of a lot of fun and distract from the fact that obviously Brock is not going to be there. But the tease of Punk knowing that he cannot wrestle, this is an opportunity to inject him in some way, shape, or form to WrestleMania.
Meanie, how would you incorporate Punk into WrestleMania? What do you think is going to happen tonight?
I would say Punk names himself special enforcer for Drew's match. You know, I might have one bad arm, but I got another good arm that can still count to three. And Drew, they're going to have, Punk has to do something. Drew's been calling him out. He just can't let him. Punk just can't let that lie. So he's going to figure out a way to either be maybe special enforcer, either at ringside or in the ring, kind of like a Mike Tyson type thing, where maybe he runs in, fast counts Drew and, whatever, and continues that heat to, hopefully to when, Punk heals up with his injury, that they can actually have an actual match. But it'll keep the storyline going. It'll keep Punk involved. It'll keep another star, on the WrestleMania lineup. So Either way, it'll be interesting to see what they do, but that's why we watch, because, people say kayfabe's dead. No, kayfabe's not dead, because none of us know what the finishes are for staying new mouth. But that's why we watch.
That's right, man. And it's like Punk, you have that personality and that ability to talk. He brings people in. What Drew's been doing has been ultra amazing and awesome. And so him complimenting Punk as like this perfect opponent almost for him, I'm intrigued to see what happens on Raw tonight. Also on tap for Raw is Andrade versus Ivar, Ricochet versus JD McDonagh, Ivy Nile versus Candice LeRae, Sami Zayn versus Bronson Reed, and Jey Uso versus Shinsuke Nakamura. So they announced like a full lineup tonight.
I got to say that it shocks me that they were able to announce so many matches in advance. I think it's just PTSD of being there for so long and knowing everything's going to change and we're going to throw it out the window. So to announce these matches, and what's interesting is Andrade, Ivar, Ricochet, JD McDonagh, these are four guys who have no clear path in what they're going to be doing for WrestleMania. So it's nice that they're going to get an opportunity to build something, whether that's building towards an Andre Battle Royal, or maybe they're going to throw an extra match on there. I will be watching with my hands through my eyes at the Ivy Nile Candice LeRae match, because this new Candice LeRae bullying people over the deaths of their siblings and then attacking people who are injured. I get we're trying something fresh and different with a leaning into this heel turn. I don't know if it's going to go the fun way, which is attacking someone who's hurt, or the I'm going to go look up the list of your dead relatives and make fun of them because, Christian Cage's lawyer will be on line one.
True that. Yeah. Tune in tonight, I guess. We'll figure it out. Hey, something else Swerve once figured out is maybe where Drew McIntyre's going. He was speaking on Bootleg Kev. I never heard of this show before. I think it's like a hip-hop thing. But he was saying,
wait, you're not plugged in. The fact that, first of all, you look like Tozawa today. I don't know what's going on. It's you've got like a bandana that's like bright neon. So you look like Tozawa. I would have thought you'd be plugged in to hip hop culture, but what did Swerve say on, we're putting over Bootleg Kev's
Bootleg podcast, Kev so here. Bootleg
we'll add Kev. Him to the roster of people we're hyping as opposed to the actual sponsors.
So he said, man, I would love to see a Drew McIntyre over here, meaning AEW. You know, contract status? I don't know. I can't speak on it, but I've heard it's not fully finalized, he made mention. And he said, I think Drew McIntyre could work anywhere in the world, like he's proven that before. That's why WWE wanted him back so badly. The transformation he made can just work anywhere and do anything with anybody. I think he's a major fit in AEW. Yeah, I mean, right now Drew confirmed that he's unsigned by WWE, but he's having fun and that's his goal, and he wants to get a big contract. So meaning, where, how do you think of Drew McIntyre? Could you envision him in AEW, or is he a surefire bet to kind of go back to WWE considering the circumstances at WrestleMania?
I'm one of the biggest Drew McIntyre fans. I've gotten to know him over the years. Sweetheart of a guy. Sorry, I don't want to kill his reputation in the ring, but great guy. He respects the business. I would hope he stays with WWE. Nothing against AEW. I love AEW. I respect Tony Khan and all this stuff, but AEW is pretty full. It's kind of become like the Noah's Ark of professional wrestling, where they're taking in a lot, but it's just like sometimes a guy will go there and they'll make a big impact and then kind of fade off into the background. And I think with the WWE, Drew has, he's got more stock invested in WWE with, you know, more sweat equity in WWE. And I think it'd be a counter. It would be foolish of WWE to let Drew McIntyre go.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, Robert.
I can't see any situation. I'm a big fan of Drew. I will neither confirm nor deny that he is a nice guy otherwise. But I think if anything, maybe this is Swerve kind of signaling that he wants to work with Drew. And maybe when Swerve's contract is up, I'd love to see him back in WWE. He is a guy that Shawn Michaels and Triple H were both huge proponents of Swerve. When I worked with him in MLW, we made him world champion. We're like, this guy has every intangible that you need. He was sort of a victim of when they first released Hit Row that he got cut. It was sort of sweep everybody out at once. I think if WWE has a chance to bring him back, they absolutely will. And I agree with Meanie. If Drew goes to AEW, I think he's going to get lost in the fold through no fault of his own. He may go out there and deliver a hell of a match or a hell of a promo, and then we might not see him on TV for 3 weeks.
That's it. And Swerve did mention on this episode too that he made clarification. He didn't think he was underutilized in WWE or misused. He said he wasn't used to his fullest potential, and you would see that. You know, he made the examples of, look at the Usos, how many years it kind of took them to kind of hit this big, big moment. Same with Roman Reigns and stuff like that. So he definitely, like, you know, you could see him back in WWE as a presence and stuff like that, and be able
absolutely
to go back with all of that stuff. So 100%, 100%. Robert, we're pretty tight on time, aren't we?
we are. We got just a few precious moments left. So apologies to Billy and the CW. We're not going to get to that news today. We'll push the other stories, but the Motor City Machine Guns and Jake Roberts to tomorrow, because I want to take one more opportunity for Blue Meanie to tell the folks where they can find you WrestleMania weekend.
WrestleMania Wednesday, I'm giving two tours at the 2300 Arena. Go to 2300arena.com for tickets. Meanie Mania, Thursday, April 4th, 7 p.m. to 2 a.m. Meanie Mania at McCusker's Tavern, 17th and Chunk in South Philadelphia, 2601 South 17th Street. No cover, 21 and older to drink. There'll be food, there'll be drinks, there'll be, songs, there'll be wrestling on the screens. We're going to have a great time at Meanie Mania. Come on out. It's free. I'll be at WrestleCon all 3 days. I'll be at the 2300 Arena for Battleground Championship Wrestling for their block party. And I'll be hosting a tribute to Extreme 2 Friday night.
How about that? How about that?
Awesome. Well, speaking of ECW alumni, Dom, do you have a podcast with any other ECW alumni that you want to plug?
Geez, it so happens I do. Yes, I co-host with One of a Kind with the RVD, Rob Van Dam. A new episode is dropping today at 4:20 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at rvdtv.com. Be sure to like, subscribe, share it out. We cover some good ground. He talks about WrestleMania weekend, his plans. I know him and Meany will probably cross paths coming up this WrestleMania week. So going to be an exciting time. Go to rvdtv.com and also go to Gagne and Magnum.com for Straight Talk with the Boss with Magnum TA and Greg Gagne. We cover Wahoo McDaniel this week, and that drops tomorrow. It's so fun. So many great stories about Wahoo. I'm fascinated by what a character he was and that, the impact he had on the business. So, yes, go to GagneMagnum.com, RVDTV.com. Hit subscribe and like. Robert, what do we got cooking? You had Wrestle Roast this week. You got more on the plate, too.
Yes, Wrestle Roast drops every Friday with my co-host, professional comedians Dan St. Germain, Mike Lawrence, and Scott Chaplin. You can get that wherever you listen to podcasts. Same thing with this show. If you missed the video format or you just want to listen to us again while you're working out in the gym, we're on Spotify. We are on Apple Podcasts and wherever you listen. We also stream live every day, Monday through Friday at noon Eastern on WWE Creative_ISH, at the Dominic D'Angelo X account, SE Scoops Podcast Heat, as well as on YouTube on the Rumor and Innuendo YouTube page, and usually on the Ad Free Shows YouTube page. But because it's Monday, we've once again been bumped by that dastardly, that terrible Jeff Jarrett. Jarrett, you are banned for life from this show, unless you say you want to come on, in which case we'll gladly welcome you.
Absolutely.
Meany, thank you so much for joining us here today. This was an absolute blast. So on behalf of the Tozawa-ish Dominic D'Angelo, I'm Robert Karpolis. Best of luck in your future endeavors.
Hold my calls. McCusker's Tavern for life.